Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
This old house once knew my children. This old house once knew my wife. This old house was home and comfort as we fought the storms of life. This old house once rang with laughter. This old house heard many shouts. Now she trembles in the darkness when the lightning walks about.
Ain't gonna need this house no longer. Ain't gonna need this house no more.
Ain't got time to fix the shingles. Ain't got time to fix the floor. Ain't got time to oil the hinges. Not to mend the window pane. Ain't gonna need this house no longer. I'm a get ready to meet the same.
Well, how do you take an old house or an old building and make it new again? We know the old cliche. It's 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. The hard work, the hammers, the nails, the boards, making the contacts, getting the word out, and coordinating all of those little details. I'm Glenn Moberg, our guest today on Route 51. Break that mold, because their hard work is more than matched by the inspiration behind it. And all three are taking historic old buildings in north central Wisconsin and making them new again. David Hummer is an artist who has been given a not-so-blank canvas to work with. The historic Wausau Club, where the city's movers and shakers once determined the region's future. It's been lying vacant for years, and Hummer is turning it into something unique for the northern half of the state, a museum of contemporary art. Jared Linsmeyer, with his wife Deanna, is helping spur the revitalization of historic old Nelsonville in Portage County with his company, Ruby Coffee Roasters. And Stephanie Springborn is taking a nearly 100-year-old building in Merrill, and with her company, Winds Paradox, converting it into an art exhibition space. Well, as usual, we want you to be a part of this conversation. Give us a call at 1-800-780-9742, or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. Thanks to all of you for being with us today. This is nice. We've got all three of you in the studio today. David, you and Stephanie have met each other before, but we're making some new friends, I think, this morning on
Absolutely.
The radio.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Glenn.
Well, we're going to start with a round robin of what you're doing in your locations. David, let's start with you. Right now, you're an artist who's chosen to live here, and you run an art studio called The Bauhaus. Why don't we start by having you tell us about that?
All right. Well, The Bauhaus started about 5 years ago. I had a student who is still with me ask if I would ever consider teaching painting. And at that time, I was not prepared, and I turned her down. But then after a short stint in Brooklyn, painting with an international painter, it changed my idea about why I'm in my studio and what that means to me. And when I was approached again to see if I'd changed my mind about teaching, I agreed, and it was the beginning of the Bauhaus. Since then, I probably have about 75 to 100 rotating students that enjoy the workshops every month.
That's a good number of people to be taking art classes for me in downtown Wausau.
It is, yeah. It's exciting.
And now you have acquired the Wausau Club, which is one of the most history-rich buildings in the city, a building that's been vacant since 2004, and you've got some big plans for it.
Yeah, they're relatively big. Not as big as the building itself. I've got approximately 27,000 square feet there. And, you know, along with that comes a lot of money to basically rehabilitate it. So I'm just taking and biting off the piece that I need to chew on right now to bring this to life for Wausau.
Why do you think a museum of contemporary art can be a success in this city?
Well, the catalyst really was the Bauhaus and my students to see how painting and the understanding of what good painting is has changed their lives. That thirst and passion to want to see more and know more really brought this about. And I can't help but think that if I were able to do it on a larger scale and affect more people, that we could change a lot of lives here.
And you're talking about bringing in relatively famous artists, people whose work is being displayed on the East and West Coasts.
Oh, not only the East West Coast, but these artists are also collected internationally and exhibited in museums all over the world.
And you're looking at opening later this year.
Yeah. The plan is I'm You know, I've given myself some leeway, about a month, but I'd like to know that I've got things pretty much wrapped up by the end of August and I can open at some point in September.
How much work do you have to do on that main floor in order to get that opening in August that you're looking for?
It's actually not all that much. I'll be putting in new flooring, skim coating some of the plaster of the existing walls, some new drywall here and there, you know, of course, adequate, you know, gallery lighting, two brand new bathrooms, and a full HVAC system.
Okay. Moving to Jared Linsmeyer, you run Ruby Coffee Roasters with your wife, Deanna, in little Nelsonville, Wisconsin, near where you grew up. Tell us about the business.
Sure, yeah. So I moved back from, most recently, living in Seattle, moved back to central Wisconsin in 2013. And I talked my wife into, of course, coming with me, but she grew up in Southern California. So prior to that, we started visiting. And I remember on one trip or some of these trips, I started taking her around to some of these small towns around where I grew up, and I sort of, you know, showed her, look how different and unique some of these places are. I took her to Amherst and Iola and Rosholt and said, look, you know, these are 15, 20 miles apart from one another, but look at the unique buildings, look at the unique culture, and how unique and fascinating that is here as opposed to some of the other parts of the country that we've lived in where they don't necessarily have so much such a great concentration of awesome small towns.
Well, Nelsonville is an old community that really didn't have a lot going in it until recently. It has a storied past, but last 20 years or so have been kind of tough.
Yeah, that's what I understand. So I remember as a kid, there were a few more businesses there. There was a John Deere dealer. There was a market that people would go out to. It was called Waller's Market.
Waller's Meat Market, yeah.
And then, after that, you know, things really started to close down. People didn't want to, you know, it was more convenient to stay on Highway 10 for the John Deere dealer. And so a lot of the businesses dried up, and there weren't as many kids or families, and just not as many people. So anyway, with Ruby, I wanted to start a business that really focused on quality. And so I wanted to do that with low overhead. So initially I started it at my house out in the country. And then as we were growing and looking for spaces to grow into and expand the business and maybe create a public space where people could come out and see us, you know, a small cafe kind of thing, started looking at some of these locations in small towns nearby because I really felt like they would give us the balance of what we needed in a great space and some character, and we could breathe some life into one of these small towns. Mm-hmm. And so I started looking at some other small towns, villages, and Nelsonville popped up. Met my guy, Judah, from Alchemy Concrete. He's a great guy. And
Alchemy Concrete is another business in Nelsonville.
That's right, yeah. So, and he was really influential and critical in helping me make it happen with our space. So we took this old building that, as I understand it, was the original H.O. Woolding trucking building or a shop or something that they used. It wasn't a very cool building necessarily. It was sort of just cinder block structure, 5,000 square feet or something. And, you know, the floors sloped out such that if you ran a hose on one side, it would just go out the other side. And so we went in and Judah helped us a bunch. And we just revitalized everything and expanded the business into there. And now we're open on weekends, too. So we have the ability to bring people together there and create this community space over coffee.
So you're primarily a wholesaler, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So one of the things that really makes it work for us and our ability to choose our location more freely is that we don't rely on foot traffic.
But you've got a tasting room now that's open on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, that's right.
Any thoughts of maybe opening that 7 days a week?
I don't know. Not at the moment. Right now it's full of coffee as we're actually in the middle of an expansion at this moment. So we had to move all the stuff from one side into the other side so that they could pour some new concrete and finish some walls and get it ready for us to expand into.
And let's move to Stephanie Springborn. You've acquired two buildings in Merrill,
yes.
One of which, an almost 100-year-old structure, you named the Matthias Building. You're renovating it right now. Tell
yes.
us about that
yes.
project.
Besides my son, it's pretty much the love of my life. I grew up in Merrill, Wisconsin, and always loved the building. And it was a joy to find out as I've gone through this that the community does too. And there's so many good memories of it. About 15 years ago, I was speaking to some friends who very successful artists. And I said, you know, if I ever had that building, I would love to make it into an art gallery. And, you know, a person has those kinds of dreams and you just put them on the shelf and you get on with life and things like that. And then as time progressed, you know, and you see the for sale signs go, you see different usages for it. People come and go. It was used as storage. And you just keep looking at the building and you think, you know, I have a chance to make this dream come true. And someday that building, it was actually slated to be demolished in 2013, 2014. And to look at it every day and to think, you know, someday it's going to be gone. The worst thing you'd ever want to hear, you know, as far as in your soul is the regrets. I should have. What if? And I thought, why not?
And you were able to convince the Merrill City Council to give you that building. And save it from the wrecking ball.
It was a a continual struggle. And
you're doing all of this work yourself, right? I mean, there's a lot of work that has to go into that.
As far as the planning, I would love to say that I'm that talented construction-wise, but of course I'm not. But I have been so blessed with the most excellent local tradespeople that I think you could ever find, stemming from window manufacturers, Lincoln Windows, and you find out how alone, at first, when you start the process, you find, and it should be that way, you know, despite everything that has happened throughout it, the processes, and you guys, I know, there's so much along that journey that goes unspoken, you know, the times when you go, oh my goodness, there's the crack that I didn't notice before, or in my case, the parapet that buckled, you know, as we're removing the old roof. And there's moments when you're alone, and it's good that way, and you wouldn't want it any other way.
Right.
You know, because it teaches you something not only about yourself, but about the business that you had planned for and what your ultimate goal is.
And your ultimate goal is to turn that into an exhibition space for artists.
Right. That's part of it. Part of the business plan, too, is not only, I think, and it sounds rather self-serving, but I think what it does, too, is it can present art online as well. And that's my own creative challenge. I wish I was an artist who painted. You know, I wish I was, and I'm not. But to put it online and to have, I mean, what better safe space for art and the enjoyment of art and for the community, to open it up to the community, than an old armory?
It was most recently an old armory, and it's been a lot of different things during its history.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want it to be 5 years from now?
What I want it to be, and actually just to bring it forward too, the last formal usage it was a technical school, and that's where most of the community has memories of it, varying from a CEO of a company who would say, Steph, I took my typing classes there, you know, and people who say, oh, I failed my first driving test there, you know.
Uh-huh.
So in 5 years to go forward with it, and I think that's the beauty of the building, is to do it honor. And part of the honor of it is to share it with the community, to make it the first floor, the main level, a commercial space, to open it up. I have a tenant, and to open it up where people can come in and enjoy it, and to make it, to show that you can follow commercial code, building codes, and you can take the long haul and make it commercially viable. Mm-hmm.
Stephanie Springborn of Wynn's Paradox, she's taken on a 100-year-old, nearly 100-year-old building in downtown Merrill, and is converting it into her dreams. Jared Linsmeyer, who has moved into historic Nelsonville, a community which has seen better days, and he's moved his wholesale specialty coffee business, Ruby Coffee Roasters, there. And David Hummer, who has taken a really iconic building, the Wausau Club, and is turning it into the Museum of Contemporary Art. I'm Glenn Moberg. Those are our panelists today on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. And we would love to hear from you. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a phone call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. We're going to take a short break. Here's some music from Manhattan Transfer.
I love coffee. I love tea. I love the Java Jive, and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Java and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. I love Java, sweet and high. Whoops, Mr. Moto, I'm a coffee pie. Shoot me the pot and I'll pour me a shot. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup.
Support for WPR comes from the state of Wisconsin, the federal government, businesses, and the single largest piece of the budget comes from the 50,000 individuals and families who make contributions. Thank you to everyone who makes WPR possible. Support also comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-law.com.
Common people like you and me will be builders for eternity. The Heptones taking us into our next segment of Route 51 with our builders, David Hummer, who is converting the old Wausau Club building into a museum of contemporary art, Jared Linsmeyer of Ruby Coffee Roasters of historic Nelsonville, and Stephanie Springborn of Wind's Paradox of Merrill. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to join the conversation, maybe you know these people. Maybe you'd just like to call them up on the radio and give them a shout-out and some encouragement. The phone number is 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. David, let's get into why you folks are married to the buildings that you're married to right now. The Wausau Club has a long and storied history. It used to be the place where Wausau's movers and shakers met. It was a male-only social club back in 1901 when it opened, and the movers and shakers would meet there in order to determine the economic future of the region. Do you think they'd like what you're doing to their building right now?
I think so, and I think it's really ironic that that was the, you know, the first use of that building, and you know, we're coming full circle to where, with this museum, it will be a place where the community decides the fate of the future of this city. And, you know, I just open, it's going to be opened up for that type of discussion and dialogue.
And, again, you're opening a museum of contemporary art there. Have you done any research in order to determine whether or not there's enough of a local market for contemporary art?
Research. I think you know. Oh, my headphones. I mean,
you're opening a contemporary art museum,
right,
in a building that is anything but contemporary.
Right. It's not really. You know, this isn't a, you know, like the new building that HGA designed for MOA, the Museum of Wisconsin Artists, down in West Bend, but you know. It does have that museum quality. It's got that stature and that solidity, you know, in the facade, and you know, it's just, I think, a beautiful location to have the idea be taken seriously.
The building is on the National Register of Historic Places. Is that going to affect what you can and can't do there?
No, not necessarily. And there really isn't a lot of changes that need to be made. Yes, oddly enough, it's pretty set just the way it is to become the museum.
And there's a lot of spaces in that structure? I used to go to Rotary meetings there, so I'm kind of familiar with it before it laid vacant for all those years. There's an old tunnel between the Wausau Club and what is now Shepherd and Schaller Sporting Goods Store. It used to be the Wausau Pilot newspaper back in the day, and that's where liquor was moved back and forth during Prohibition.
Yeah, there's not a lot of liquor left. Yeah, there's a lot of nooks and crannies and spaces, and you know. But again, I'm really only focused on what the immediate needs of the museum will be, and that's about, oh, let's say 5,000 square feet of the main level. You know, the West Wing addition that kind of juts out to the north that people are familiar with, that's going to lie dormant along with the upper level and the basement until such a time where somebody might come along and propose to myself or my board their ideas for wanting to rehabilitate. And if those are compatible with the vision of the museum, we'll take a look at that then.
It's also supposed to be haunted, David. Have you seen any ghosts in the Wausau Club?
I have not yet. I've been there, late nights and in complete darkness, and I have not yet seen any apparitions. I'm all for it. So maybe it'll be a great Halloween party.
And we should also mention that a lot of the work, there's still work to be done there, but a lot of it was already done by Tom and Connie Schutte, who invested more than $2 million. They paid for a new roof, new paint, some new plumbing, and asbestos removal. So they really paved the way for what you're doing
now. Yeah, they did. And I've got it. I think about that all the time. And a huge thank you to that family number one, believing in that building to go that far. If it was not for them, this would not even be a possibility in moving forward, you know, to take care of the structural elements, the new roofing, even giving the exterior facelift, the asbestos removal, that was huge. These things would not be possible for me to walk in and do what I need to do.
And yet they ended up donating the building to the city in 2014.
Right.
And when the city got it, there were members of that city council who saw it as a white elephant at the time and vowed to raise it unless a viable project emerged for it.
Right.
Which I think, the people in Wausau who are familiar with that building would have been horrified to see it come down.
Yeah, and that's one of the things about moving into an old building like this is with such history is I have the full support of the community in wanting to see this come back. I think that's half the battle right there is that preservation of those memories.
And the city council voted unanimously to give you a shot.
Yeah.
So that's...
That doesn't happen too often.
It's not a 5-4 vote, use the Supreme Court time.
And what I'm also hearing, through the grapevine, and it's a small town, is, through people like Christian Schock and our mayor, Bob Mielke, that this is the first time they've ever been in a position like this where they haven't heard any type of opposition, that people are embracing this and they are so excited to see this happen.
Stephanie and Jared, I'm wondering your reaction to what you're hearing from David right now.
Oh, there's pieces of similarity between, the preservation of the memories, the stories, like you were mentioning, the surprises of, I didn't know about the tunnel between the Wausau Club and Shepherd and Schaller. And, there's things like that, little pieces of the building that is part of the history that should be shared, the good, the bad. It all becomes part of that building. And what a phenomenal mix as far as, I know what you mean, as far as you have this very traditional structure and to repurpose it, what a beautiful blend. And that, I think, is the essence of art, is the blending of what maybe wouldn't normally be put together, the relationships between contemporary and traditional and an armory and, and
in your case, an armory and an art exhibition space.
Exactly.
Jared?
Yeah, absolutely. It just made me think about how we have a lot of people that will stop by at the shop on the weekends. And one of the things they'll say is, And they vary in age, but sometimes, I guess in particular, I'm thinking of some people in their 60s, 70s, 80s that have been driving through Nelsonville for 30 years, 40 years, or they grew up there. And they come in and they say, they just look around and they're like, what is happening here? You know, how is this even who's responsible for this? And, you know, I say, well, this is our company. You know, we roast coffee and we sell to these various businesses around the country. And they were like, well, what are you doing here? You know, why Nelsonville? And they just seem so excited that it hasn't been just erased, you know, off the map, and that we've chosen to, you know, to stake a claim and build it up and create community around it. And people in town too, you know, young families, people that bought houses there 3-4 years ago, now they walk down and get their coffee on a Saturday and they bump into people from Madison or Milwaukee that are coming to see our shop for the day. And they'll say, Jared, man, this is so great. I can't believe this. So yeah, I think just the excitement that people feel for this, the repurposing of things that would otherwise be sort of cast aside.
1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation. That's 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to the phones right now. We have Sharon from Rothschild, who's on Route 51 with David Hummer, Jared Linsmeyer, and Stephanie Springborn. Sharon?
Hi. I wanted to call and give a shout-out to your panel and to you, Glenn, for your program. I recently became aware of soup in the Wausau area and what it's done for the Wausau building in RIVA. The recent City Pages article, I wasn't aware of what was going on in Merrill, but I'm just really touched by their dedication. And one of the things I heard this week is where people's hearts go, there goes the community. And I think what you brought is a soulful presence that has touched people's heart in Wausau, Merrill, and Nelsonville. And there goes the community into the future to hold on to what has been, but to repurpose, transform, you know, for the future. And I pulled into a driveway on Grand Avenue in an old house that used to be, craft store, and it's a beautiful inside. So I'm blessing this house, hoping for its repurposing. It's next to U-Haul. So anyway, those are my comments. So I just affirm your dedication, and there's an excitement, I think, that I feel personally, but also in the community. So bless you all.
Sharon, thanks so much for the phone call.
Mm-hmm. And thank you, Sharon, so much. You touched on, you and Jared and David and Glenn just touched on a lot. And one of the things is to feel strongly about, like you said, where your heart goes the future, and what is meaningful to our children and to our communities and the economies of that, and to build those communities that they're viable, that it isn't just a dream that's off in La La Land, that it's actually a viable economic entity that, you know, creating something new and to show the creativity that's possible in repurposing old buildings for the future, not necessarily even, and to have those pockets throughout Wisconsin. I guess that's part of my dream is, you know, there's Jared's work in Nelsonville and David's work in Wausau, my work in Merrill, and it continues on throughout Wisconsin. You can go to the Fox Valley and see repurposed old buildings that, for whatever that building should be, if you've got an old factory in Appleton, you might be able to make lots of apartments and things like that, and just to really follow what that building is for. So I just thank you so much, Sharon, for sharing it, because that is part of it, is what the future will be and what do we present.
Kingsley on Facebook writes to us, every building has a story. A commercial property can have multiple incarnations. We need to remember and appreciate. We must recognize that new isn't always necessary. Old has character. A lot of character in Nelsonville, Jared.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and our building isn't necessarily the one with the most character, to be honest. I mean, I think now it's pretty cool. We've done a lot of work to sort of merge the history of it with some really nice modern touches, you know, concrete floors and wood paneling and some things like that. But there's some other buildings there that are absolutely amazing. One across the street from us is the Waller's Market building is now an antique store that's been restored beautifully by the owners, and definitely worth checking out. I mean, they took what was With Waller's, it became, that sort of had a drop ceiling, and it served a great purpose, but they looked back deep into Lori in particular. One of the owners, Lori, and her husband, Albert, have worked hard to restore it. They bought it, I think, in the maybe early 2000s and pulled down this drop ceiling to open up this pressed tin and... And she's got like photographs of when it was a tavern back in the early 1900s, and she loves it. And there are people like that.
Let's look at the history of Nelsonville. It was created when Jerome Nelson put up a sawmill on the Tomorrow River. That was back in 1855. That mill later provided electricity to the small village, so that the people who lived in the rural parts of the area didn't have electricity. The folks in town did, so that helped spur development.
There was some joke there about if your lights flickered, maybe a fish swam through the dam or something.
The village incorporated in 1913, so the locals could shut down the saloons in the area. That's probably where Waller's Meat Market got
its
start.
Yeah.
And then the original village was very Norwegian. In 1959, much of the milk produced in the area was turned into high-grade butter at the Farmers Cooperative Dairy Association plant. And at its height, the village had its own doctor. It even had a makeshift hospital. There were four service stations, a blacksmith shop, a creamery, a barber shop, a television store, a furniture store, and a paint store. But by 1966, things started turning down. There were only two businesses remaining in the village by 1992, Waller's and then the farm implement store. I guess that was a John Deere dealer.
Right.
And look at what's happened.
Yeah, things are changing now, and I mean, we love it, and for us too. I mean, part of the decision was purely, I'll be honest, economical. I mean, we looked around and thought, all right, like, look, I don't need to be in Stevens Point or to sell my coffee to someone in New York City. We just need a space to roast coffee, and so for us, and I think some other people, as we're looking at, okay, how do we build a life that makes sense? How do we build a business that works within the confines of what we have available to us, and that one just made sense for us to be able to grow and scale.
Well, Ruby Coffee Roasters has gotten some great reviews, and you've been kind of humble here about what you've managed to accomplish. But boy, when you look at some of the things that people are saying about you, you were named one of the 15 best new coffee roasters in 2014. In 2015, you were selected as having the best mail order coffee subscription business, and Epicurious named you as among the 18 coffee roasters that you need to know. So,
yeah,
Jared, you've gone a long way from being a barista on the West Coast, which is where you got your start.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, it's been a wild ride. This morning, actually, I saw another one that it was seven notable roasters or something, seven of America's noteworthy roasters, and it was like Intelligentsia and Pete's and Stumptown, and then at the bottom there's this sort of notable mentions or something, and we were on there too.
Right? And you worked at Intelligentsia.
That's right.
Where you cut your teeth.
That's right. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean that's been absolutely amazing. I guess the brief history there, which I haven't really talked about that much, is I was buying coffee for a company in Seattle, and prior to that I had roasted for Intelligentsia, and as I started buying coffee and visiting producing countries, I started tasting some of these coffees that to me were absolutely incredible. And really, Ruby, which by the way is named after my grandmother, who's listening, I'm sure.
Hi, Grandma. Tell us about her. Tell us about Ruby.
Just let me finish this one thing, and then. But so I decided to start the whole business focused on the sort of these best coffees, not that. The ones that on most people's menus are the small percentage, reserve offerings. I wanted to make our whole offering. So that's where
So you're doing small lots and relatively rare coffee beans.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, rare isn't necessarily the focus, but that's kind of what ends up happening. Is just that we go to these farms, or I just got back from Guatemala and Costa Rica, and I was in El Salvador in December, and we work with farms where they're separating out for us the best coffees. One in parallel I use sometimes here in Wisconsin because people are more familiar is like, let's say, your neighbor has an orchard of apples or your neighbor has in Door County has cherries. And for you, you want the bucket of the best apples, picked when they're ripest and from that one tree that's at the top of the hill, and maybe it's a little abused, but for whatever reason produces the sweetest apples. So those are our coffees. So Ruby, sorry, do you have another question?
Yeah, let's hear about Ruby.
So Ruby, Ruby Zitta is my grandma, and she lives in Gleason, Wisconsin, and she's...
a big shout out from Stephanie here.
Yeah. Hey, Gleason.
She's 88, yeah, she just had her birthday, and so when I was thinking of a name for the company, it's funny, I got a Ruby tattoo, years before I started Ruby, because I was thinking, what more classic thing to have tattooed on your body than your grandma's name? I mean, come on, can't go wrong with that one. I'll never regret that one. So anyway, I got a Ruby tattoo, and she loved that. But then I decided to start the business, and I was thinking of names, and, you know, Ruby just popped into my head, you know, because for a lot of reasons, I think coffee and many industries as well are sort of, you know, masculine and male dominated. And Ruby is this fun, classic, colorful, you know, I think of, like, there's a Johnny Cash song, right?
There's another meaning. A ruby is something that's very special and rare.
Yeah, it's a gem. Absolutely.
We're going to take another short break here. You're listening to Jared Linsmeyer of Ruby Coffee Roasters of historic Nelsonville. His establishment there is helping turn that old historic town around, a town which had seen better days. Also, David Hummer, who's converting the old Wausau Club building into a museum of contemporary art, and Stephanie Springborn, who is picking up hammers and nails and converting a nearly 100-year-old building in Merrill into an art exhibition space. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a buzz at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I'll read it live on the air. Here's John Prine.
Grandpa was a carpenter. He built houses, stores, and banks. He chained smoked Camel cigarettes and hammered nails and planks. He was level on a level. Shaved even every door. He voted for Eisenhower, cause Lincoln won the war.
Support for WPR comes from Wisconsin-based Country Travel Discoveries, celebrating the Denali National Park Centennial and the Canada Sesquicentennial with this summer's Alaska and the Yukon Discovery Tours. CountryTravelDiscoveries.com. Support also comes from The Grand in Wausau, presenting the Young Irelanders, Friday, March 17th at 7:30, an ensemble of musicians and dancers who embrace old-world tradition while adding a contemporary flair. Tickets are at GrandTheater.org.
Way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions, so they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. You can't get cherry soda, cause they've got to sell their quota, and the way things are, I guess they never will. They've got a zillion tons of coffee in Brazil.
That's Frank Sinatra taking us into our final segment of Route 51 as we look at new life for old buildings with David Hummer, who's converting the iconic Wausau Club into a museum of contemporary art, Jared Linsmeyer of Ruby Coffee Roasters of historic Nelsonville, and Stephanie Springborn of Wind's Paradox of Merrill. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you want to give us a phone call, 1-800-780-9742, or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page. As Ruth did, about the Bauhaus, please give significance to the history of that name. The name comes from the German art school that was run by some of the most important architecture and artists of the 20th century. They saw what was coming and escaped to Chicago and opened the new Bauhaus School. And now we've got the Bauhaus in Wausau.
Now we've got the Bauhaus in Wausau, yeah. Walter Gropius, the godfather of modern architecture, realized, just like I think most artists and architects realize, that art and architecture go hand in hand. I've always loved the name the Bauhaus. Back in the late 70s, there was a band called the Bauhaus. It was England's number one death rock band. It's just always stuck with me. And when it came time to name, you know, what I'm doing, it just seemed appropriate that the Bauhaus means, the literal translation from German to English means house of construction. And, most people don't realize that paintings are constructed. They're built, just like a good building. There's a foundation, and, there are things that have to happen in certain order to create that painting.
And you're taking that experience that you've had at the Bauhaus and the experience of all your artwork, and you're applying it to something new.
Yeah, my life has been art. I've been painting since I could hold a crayon, a brush, and I lived through the gentrification process down in Milwaukee of the Third Ward, where, they basically, it's one of those things that, artists look for really cheap, reasonable space to do what they do. They've always been in the mindset of the creative economy. I can do this anywhere. Where can I do it and not kill myself financially? The Third Ward of Milwaukee was all abandoned warehouses. There were a few produce vendors back in the late 70s, early 80s, and a couple of art galleries moved in down there into the abandoned warehouses. Judy Posner, who's now in L.A., Katie Gingrass is still down there. Tori Folliard started and is still there strong. Dee Erline Fine Art was down there, and Dee and I were very good friends, and I worked with Dee. And, these are gutsy people to move in and pioneer an area like that. But what happened was it created an attraction, and it opened people's eyes to how beautiful what could be considered a blighted area could really be. And then more artists move in, and more artists move in. And then all of a sudden a coffee shop moves in and a dressmaker.
Hey, don't blame us.
Yeah. And, this development starts to happen, and people start thinking to themselves, what if, and ooh, what could we do with that building? Mm-hmm. And it becomes the catalyst for many more passionate people to explore their ideas in their creative economy.
Let's move to the phones. Glenn in Wausau. You're on with Glenn in Wausau, and also David and Jared and Stephanie.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Glenn.
Hi. Say, I'm a realtor in Wausau, and I've been doing it for 40 years plus years and running to thousands of people. And I had occasion to run into David when he was looking for space to put his museum. And I got to say, I'm really impressed with him. I think that if anybody can make a real success of this, it's he. I've run into all kinds of people, and a lot of the people that do this kind of thing are dreamers. But I think he's got it going on. And I congratulate the City of Wausau Council for being able to make a deal with him, because I think it's an excellent use of that property, and I wish him all the success in the world.
Thank you.
Glenn, thanks so much for the phone call. And, kudos to you, David Hummer.
Yeah, I people are excited about this. And, one of the things that makes this possible, I think, is because of my history in the arts, and that, in order to make it as a painter in this world, you do whatever it takes. You work a Joe job here, you do this over there, and, until your paintings take off. And there are times in your life where you get burnt out and you try other things that are equally as creative, and which led me to developing in Chicago in the 90s. And so I've got this rare, I'm a rare hybrid of painter, businessman, developer, and so I feel pretty strongly about my ability to bring this to fruition for our community at large.
Stephanie, your building, you gave it a name, the Matthias Building.
I did.
Why was that?
Mm-hmm.
It's never had a name before.
Right. In fact, it was rather haunting that there's nameplates up on the building on the west and the north side that, as far as I could see from different photographs, now people have told me that there was a name at one time, but I've never seen a photograph of it. And I would count out the cement blocks up there, and I would think it needs a name. So when I incorporated Wynn's Paradox, it happened to be perfectly, actually, on one of the feastal celebrations of St. Matthias, and Matthias is actually the patron saint of carpenters and tailors.
Which really does make it appropriate for that use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at downtown Merrill, like a lot of old cities, it's got its advantages and its challenges. You've got the Lincoln County Courthouse and the Sheriff's Department, all those public works jobs that go with that. Great little movie theater, the Cosmo. It's got a new Walgreens. Chip's Hamburgers has been a fixture there for decades. County Market does a great business. The T.B. Scott Library is one of the best libraries in north central Wisconsin. Ace Hardware, a place where you can go in and buy a single washer or a nut or a bolt if you need it. Hargraves Appliance, a bookstore, a good school system. But you've got their longtime department store, Thelma's, which went out of business. A lot of those buildings downtown look like nothing's been done to them since the 1950s. And like a lot of America, it's got an aging population, although 24% of the people are under the age of 18 in Merrill. Overwhelmingly white, not much ethnic diversity, and relatively high unemployment and a relatively low median income, just $31,000 for men and $21,000 for women. How does a project like yours play off of those strengths and help overcome some of the weaknesses and maybe convince some of those young people as they get older that they want to stay in Merrill instead of moving somewhere else?
Sure. And that's been a piece of it too, is like any one of us on the panel would say, you do study the economies of it. You know, you look for the information as far as, do I have car count to make this a physical location that people will visit? And you listen to the businesses that are there, the factories that are there, the industries that are there, and what are they looking for? And how does Merrill prepare itself for the next 20 years? Because a lot of those things, you know, you mentioned the hardware store, one of my favorites personally. but that itself, that's a small business. And that's a small business, not only a small business, but a small business that's prospering in an old building. And, you know, you look for pockets like that to tie to, and you say, how does, it becomes a challenge almost of urban planning. And how do you make a corridor through the city? How do you make attractions? How do you draw people to Merrill? Or like you said, how do you, you know, what are some of the amenities?
Jared, in Nelsonville, you told me over the phone that there are more kids in the community now.
Yeah, that was something.
And you're playing off of some of the environmental stuff that's happening at Sunset Lake and the Central Wisconsin Environmental Station.
We have, so one thing that's happening out at Sunset Lake, Central Wisconsin Environmental Station, is a new community charter school that my friend Camomile and some other people have been pioneering. It's now, I think, in its fourth year, and it's in the Tomorrow River School District, which Nelsonville occupies as well. So people are moving to Nelsonville so their kids can go to this school. And that, you know, it's this ripple effect of now we've got, you know, 30, 40 kids.
We've got a ripple effect going on in Nelsonville, and hopefully, David, this is going to add to an already thriving arts scene in downtown Wausau. And I've got to tell you, we're down to our last 20 seconds here.
All right. Thanks for having us.
David, you've got the last word.
You know, it is all about attraction and that ripple effect. And, you know, people are looking for attractions. In this world, we can do what we do just about anywhere. We can work out of a coffee shop. We can work out of a barn. And so people are looking for those types of amenities to have their quality of life. And I think that's really important.
Thank you all for being with us today.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme. As dreamers do.
We want to thank today's guest, David Hummer, artist and founder of the Museum of Contemporary Art in Wausau. You can find out more about his work at Bauhaus, that's B-A-U-H-A-U-S, Wausau.com. Also, Jared Linsmeyer of Ruby Coffee Roasters of Nelsonville. You can find out more at RubyCoffeeRoasters.com. And Stephanie Springborn of Wins Paradox in Merrill. You can find out more at WinsParadox.com. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jana Schleiss. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today by the Indigo Girls, Stuart Hamblin, Manhattan Transfer, the Heptones, John Prine, Frank Sinatra, and Cliff Edwards, also known as Jiminy Cricket. Next week on Route 51, we look ahead to the Lakes Partnership Convention in Stevens Point with keynote speaker Wallace J. Nichols, the author of Blue Mind. Thanks for riding with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees.